The word of God given to us today is Psalms chapter 119, verses 129 to 136. Please turn to page 894 of the Old Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Amen. People protect what they treasure. Those who have a vault at home keep their valuables in it. Those who believe that a bank is safer than home keep their valuables at the bank vault. The types of valuables inside the vault aren't the only things that we should protect. There are our children, our families, and our loved ones. And we should keep the words of God as we keep things or people that we treasure. Keeping the words does not mean to physically store or protect, but to act on the words. The writer of Psalms chapter 119 treasured the words of God very much, and so he kept the words of God. He tried to keep the words with every bit of his soul. The writer valued God's word so much that he yearned for the words, and so, as if a hunter chases after his prey, he would chase after the words, then open his mouth and pant so that he won't miss a thing. Verse 130 tells us why the words of God are amazing and so priceless. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When you open the Bible that is the word of God, it gives light. When that light is shed upon a simple person, it gives understanding to that person. Just as the radiation kills cancer cells when shed on the affected areas, the light of the word will make the simple wise. This is the very case that is wonderful, as mentioned in verse 129. But the light of the word is not exactly the type of light that stimulates the brain cells to make your IQ higher, as if the radiation stimulates the cancer cells. It gives a person an understanding. What type of person in this world would be considered a wise person? It is a type of person who realizes the cause of an insoluble problem from the human attributes in life. It is a person who realizes who created and rules over the entire universe, and where he or she is from and where he or she is heading to. It is a person who realizes what he or she is supposed to do in this world until the end of life, and how to live the right type of life. The light of the words gives such an understanding. The light of the words does not shed down from heaven, but it sheds when you open up the Bible. Then does this mean that only the simples need the light of the words? When a wise person opens up the Bible, he or she will become even more wiser. And when a simple one opens up the Bible, He or she will be given an understanding of things that he or she did not know of before. The Bible is needed for everyone, whether it be a wise person or a simple person. Anyone should open up the Bible. There's an expression to open up one's wallet. Not many people use cash these days. But to open up a wallet means to use money, right? The reason for opening up a wallet is to take out money to buy something that you need. What should be the reason why someone opens up the Bible? What is there inside the Bible that you can take out? What to take out? No. What would come out of the Bible will depend on how you think of the Bible. If you have a wallet full of $50 bills, you can take out whatever amount of money every time you open up your wallet. But if your wallet only has a couple of $1 bills, you'd feel frustrated to open up your wallet. If you open up the Bible with the kind of anticipation when you open up your wallet full of $50 bills, you will always be able to receive something valuable. If you open up the Bible with an asking, seeking, and knocking heart, God will give to those who ask. Allow those to find what they seek, and opens up to those who knock. That was why the writer had no choice but to be in love with God's words, and had to open his mouth and pant after longing for the words. What are we opening up? Is it the Bible? Your wallet? Is it a book? Or is it something else? There is this mobile phone, which we call the smartphone, that we frequently take out from our pockets or bags to look at its screen. Because people engage in more online activities than they used to before the COVID-19 pandemic, the amount of time that people use their smartphones has naturally increased. We use our smartphones to open up various apps, apart from making phone calls, sending texts, or checking our emails. The hours that we use to open up the smartphone and look at the things that we want to see have increased. But how long do we spend during a day to open up the Bible and receive the light of the words? How will we be able to wisely live in this world full of temptations without being shed the light of the words? There are so many elements in this world that make people simple. Smartphones provide useful information and convenience in life to people. But have you ever seriously thought about the fact that there are also the elements that make people simple-minded? Smartphones do not make a person smart. I strongly believe that if a person spends more time on opening up the Bible and being shed the light of the words than the hours spent on opening up his or her smartphone, then he or she will become a wiser person. A simple person is called a foolish person, in other words. The Hebrew word that was translated as the simple in today's passage was translated as fool in Proverbs. Foolish people need understanding. The Proverbs explains about fools, of what kind of a person he is, and sheds light upon the reader of the Bible to become a wise person. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 testifies that a simple loves simple ways. Foolish people find it hard to tear themselves away from the ways of the foolish. And that is because They love the foolishness. We can learn of what becomes of a man who cannot tear himself away from the foolish ways through the life of Nabal in the Old Testament. Nabal was so foolish as to not know what situation he was in. The name Nabal itself means fool. He lived true to his name. Nabal failed to recognize David, who protected his property. Nabal owned 3,000 sheep as well as other livestock. One day, Nabal was shearing his sheep. For a stock breeder, the sheep shearing day is like harvesting for the farmers. On this day, plenty of food is prepared for the workers to eat, so it's basically a feast. It's a day in which you share the joy with not only the people of your household, but also with the neighbors. But Nabal did not share any food with the people around him. He was so foolish as to not know that he could have been promised a bigger joy and safety had he shared his things with David, who was poor at the time. A person who treats a wanderer and shares their things is a beautiful person. A person who lives a great life. Do we not feel that the life of a person who welcomes and treats a total stranger, a person who shares what they have, is so beautiful? The reason why that person is great and beautiful is that he has the wisdom of knowing how to share. Nabal was foolish enough not to share even a piece of bread with those who helped protect his property. As a result, Nabal was struck and died in the hands of God, not in the hands of David. If the foolish Nabal had received the light of the words, his life would not have ended up that way. Also, fools are vulnerable to sexual temptations. Proverbs chapter 7 writes about a youth who had fallen for the adulterous woman, and here it testifies that the youth was without sense. These days, we are indiscreetly exposed to so much lewd content. Not only the youth, but also the adults are lured by them. And absurd crimes occur due to this. What would be needed for such an obscene generation? Herod Antipas, who killed John the Baptist, was a tetrarch and a fool. He may be a bit different from the youth that appeared in Proverbs chapter 7, but he married his half-brother's wife, who was also his niece, after divorcing his first wife. So he is not so different from the youth that fell for the adulterous woman. Herod's marriage was evil and sexual sin, and this was apparent to all eyes. John the Baptist rebuked Herod that such a marriage was wrong. This became the reason why John was killed by Herod. Jesus called foolish Herod the fox. Herod's foolishness brought about a dire consequence. Herod's first wife was the princess of Nabatea. Herod's deserting his wife, who was a princess of another country, in order to marry Herodias, a married woman, had become the reason why war broke out with Nabatea. Herod asked for help from the Roman Emperor Tiberius in order to get away with the danger. But Tiberius, who had promised a helping hand, had died, and added to the misery. The governor of Syria, who promised reinforcements, betrayed him and framed him. The new Roman emperor, Caligula, dethroned Herod from tetrarchy and sent him in exile and ended his life. Regardless of the time, higher social status has nothing to do with overcoming sexual temptation. Even if you may have accumulated so much knowledge and received high-level education, you can still fall for sexual temptations if you are not shed by the light of the words. The light of the words make you overcome not only the sexual seductions, but also other types of temptations. Fools love illogicalness and are apathetic to the world of death and judgment. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. This is what the foolish woman had said to seduce a passerby into her house. What this woman had said, stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious, stirs up the desires of those with sinful nature, and it means that secrecy will bring much bigger pleasure. Aren't most sexual sins committed at a secretive place? That's not all. Illegal gambling, illegal liquor sales, and other illegal acts occur mostly in secluded areas. The best line to seduce a fool is to say, there is no risk of being caught because things will be done in secret. Next is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Her guests refer to those who have fallen for the adulterous woman. The fools who were seduced by the adulterous woman do not know about the deep in the realm of the dead. In other words, they do not know of judgment. Even if they have heard about the deep in the realm of the dead several times, they do not think nor wish to learn more about it because of the pleasure that they are experiencing right at that moment. They only obsess over the real world and live for pleasure. Then do you think that those who say that they believe in the Lord will live always conscious of the realm of the dead? Obsessing the real world may prevent you from thinking about the end and missing out on the will of the Lord. If we look into the Gospels, Peter, not being able to get a grasp of what was going on, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters at the Mount Tabor. At this moment, Peter missed out on which path the Lord was supposed to be going towards. There are times that we try to settle in the current environment that we are in, just as Peter did. We need to be shed with the light of the words every day so that we do not end up like that. Fools love illogicality, such as stolen water is sweet. I've mentioned this just before, but since fools love foolishness, they tend to lean towards foolish words and believe in them. When someone comes and suggests stealing, saying, stolen water is sweet, then they steal. And if they are discovered and are punished for that, who are they to blame? Can they say that they have been swindled? Would that not be the consequence of one's own foolishness? If any of you are making investments in any way after being persuaded that it's going to be easy money, like the word stolen water is sweet, I urge you to quit right away. Fools not only love illogicalness, but they also believe in all sorts of shenanigans in the world. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Those who easily believe in other people's words are said to be naive. But could you really call someone who believes in all sorts of shenanigans naive? Believing in all sorts of things means that they cannot differentiate the good and evil, meaning they cannot distinguish the truth from the lies. It is wrong to be skeptical towards people without reason, but it's also not so advisable to have blind faith in people. You can find sincerity in someone's words from a few conversations that you have with the person. A liar's words do not make sense. That is because the liar will keep making a lie to cover up the other lie. He or she will eventually fall to remember what he or she has said. Lies will be exposed eventually. You just don't know it yourself. If you are shed with the light of the words, you will be able to distinguish the sincerity of the words, even if you hear all sorts of things. So you will learn to be careful in what you do. You will be able to hold yourself, even if you hear something illogical like stolen water is sweet. Fools who do not know how to contain themselves are apathetic even if a calamity nears. They fall into trouble because they do not know when to avoid it. Let us read Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Fools cannot distinguish a dangerous situation, so they expose themselves to the danger and are harmed by it. A wise knows a dangerous situation and knows when to hide. They know when to step back and when to keep silent. Do you not often see people who run into trouble for stepping up when they aren't supposed to and speaking up when they shouldn't have? What these people need is the light of the words. And so, what exactly is the light of words? The book of John testifies that the Word is the very God Himself. The Word that is God dwelled among us in flesh, and that is Jesus. The Word is God and is Jesus. Now, what is the light? The light is also the God and Jesus. David testified in Psalms chapter 27 that the Lord is my light. Apostle John testifies in the Gospel and the letters of John that Jesus is the light. Jesus said so himself. I am the light of the world. So the Word is God, and the light is also God. The light of the words shines not only when the Bible, the Word of God, is opened. The way to meet with God is to open up the Bible. The Bible testifies that God appeared as light when he came to meet with people. Moses met with God in the form of flames of fire from within a bush. Fire emits light. After meeting with God in Mount Sinai, Moses' face was radiant. The reason why Moses' face was radiant was because he met with God, who is the light. Saul of the New Testament met with Jesus, who was the light, on the road to Damascus. Let us look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Those who met with the Lord were shed with the light of the Lord. So, being shed with the light of the words means meeting with the Lord. You meet with the Lord, that is the words, and the Lord, that is the light. We meet with the Lord through the Bible verses. How could a person that meets with the Lord stay in his or her foolishness? The more diversity is respected in this era, the more desperately we are in need of wisdom. The more evil the era is, and the closer it becomes when the time the Lord will come, the more desperately we are in need of wisdom. If we realize that the light of the words gives understanding to the simple, should we not live a life of opening our mouths and pants because we are in love with the light of the words? We can become a spiritually healthy person only when we become a person who opens up the Bible and is shed with the light of the words and open our mouths and pant to keep the very precious words of the Lord. Next is one of the questions from health checkup questionnaires. How many days during the past week have you exercised intensely for over 20 minutes a day that makes you feel out of breath than usual? They also give you examples in case you aren't sure what intense exercises that make you feel out of breath than usual are. There are jogging, aerobics, riding fast on a bicycle, and hiking, etc. So doing any of these exercises for more than 20 minutes means you have worked out intensely that makes you feel out of breath than usual. On the questionnaire are two more questions that are for those who aren't as active. Such questions on the questionnaire show that people need exercises that make them feel out of breath. Just as regular exercises of aptly feeling out of breath helps you keep your health, you also need spiritual exercise that makes you feel out of breath to become a spiritually healthy person. Should we not become a person that opens up the Bible every day, be shed with the light of the words, and become closer to the Lord and opens up his or her mouth and pants every day to keep the words because we are in love with the words? How would you answer when you receive the following questions? How many days during the past week were you out of breath for being in love with the words? How many days during the past week have you opened up the Bible and was shed with the light of the words? May the grace of checking 7 days on that spiritual health checkup questionnaire be with you all before the year end comes.